Spring is officially here, and I don't know about you, but I am ready to get my hands dirty again and play in the garden. There's just something so magical about watching those tiny little seeds turn into amazing plants that feed both your body and your soul. Oh, I can't even. Hey friend, welcome back to The Media Matters, the coven for the curious. I'm your host Chantel, and today we're talking about garden magic. Honestly, I cannot wait to share some super easy ways to make your growing space feel more sacred and even more connected. So whether you have acres of land, a tiny backyard, or just a few pots sitting on your windowsill, trust me, there is plenty of magic to be found wherever you're growing your green babies. Now then, let's talk about what garden magic actually is and why right now is such a perfect time to start thinking about it. So, garden magic isn't some complicated system of rules or anything intimidating. It's really just about working with the natural energies that are already hanging out in your growing spaces. It's recognizing that gardens aren't just places where we grow food or pretty flowers. They're really these amazing in-between spaces where we can connect with nature's rhythms, honor the elements, and basically co-create with the spirit of the land. How cool is that? What I absolutely love about garden magic is that the seeds, the soil, the water, the sunlight, all of these things are your magical ingredients. Your intentions and really just being present and aware are what turn regular old gardening into something truly magical. As for why now is the perfect time, well, the spring equinox was just in town. You know, the time of year when day and night hit this perfect balance? This has traditionally been a time for fresh starts when the earth is waking up after its big winter nap. Seeds are getting ready to burst into life. The energy is perfect for setting intentions that will grow right along with your plants throughout the coming seasons. Plus, this is when a lot of us are planning our gardens anyway, right? We're ordering seeds, we're scrolling through Instagram for inspo, and dreaming about what we want to grow. And by bringing in a little magical awareness from these very first steps, you're basically infusing your whole growing season with intention and meaning. I would love to tell you that I have a super green thumb, but I can't. The truth is, most of the time I feel like I'm just walking around partially blindfolded when it comes to plants. And that said, I am deeply obsessed, and all I want to do is learn so that I can keep these little babies alive. Last year, I decided I was going to start my very first garden. The timing was perfect because I had just spent the previous 5 or so years working nearly to death, and I was so burned out and exhausted that I couldn't even put it into words. I had the deepest desire to get back into my magical world and feel like a human again, and gardening sounded like the perfect solution. So, the plan was I was going to grow all this food like a mini farmer, and our grocery bill would go way down because obviously I'm growing all this food. So, I order raised beds online, spend my imaginary child's college tuition at the Home Depot buying soil and mulch and all the gardening things. And project not even started, I am considering buying even more garden beds before the first ones are even put together because, again, obviously, I'm a mini farmer with lots of spatial needs. So I was ready to take over the world with my intuitive gardening method, one beautiful plant at a time. If you haven't guessed by now, things went so well. I mean, so well. I planted tomatoes, watermelon, cantaloupe, zucchini, kale, broccoli, all the herbs, flowers, strawberries, carrots, onions. If there was a seed for a plant, believe me, I planted it. Would you like to know what I harvested? Let me tell you, I hope you're sitting down. Mint and basil. Yes, mint and basil. Oh, I also picked 2 watermelons and I forgot them on the counter, so there's that. Honestly, the experience was expensive and hilarious, but more than anything, it was so freaking magical. While I wasn't successful in growing all the things and packing the fridge full of food grown with my own 2 hands, I actually did succeed in learning something that I hadn't expected to learn, and that was how transformative it is to physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually connect with a garden. Honestly, the magic of creating that space that's all yours, the magic of figuring out where to place your bed, what to plant, where to plant it, how to properly care for everything, it is just beyond. So my plan going into last year's gardening season was to become the very best micro farmer that ever was. What I got out of it was presence, love, deep peace, and beautiful energy that nourished my soul and really helped to bring me back to life. I also learned that presence and intuition are far more powerful than I'd given them credit for. That's the really cool thing about garden magic. Sometimes it finds you when you need it most, and it's often disguised as something as simple as a basil plant. And in case you forgot, it's one of the two things I successfully grew. So one of the things I learned along the way and fully plan to implement this year is that the way you arrange your garden can seriously enhance its magical properties. Here are some really cool magical garden layouts to consider for your own space. First, let's talk about the circular garden. The circle represents wholeness, infinity, and nature cycles. A circular garden with paths leading to a center point creates a natural mandala and a powerful space for meditation or any ritual of your choosing. You can divide your circle into sections representing different elements, moon phases, or areas of life you want to nurture. Plus, circles just feel kind of magical, don't they? Next, let's talk about the four directions or elements type of garden. For this, you're going to orient your garden to the four cardinal directions, giving each section to its own corresponding element. For example, we have east, which represents air. Here you can plant herbs, morning blooming flowers, and plants with feathery leaves or plants that attract butterflies and birds. Next is the south or fire, and here you can plant the sun-loving plants, red and orange flowers, and heat-loving herbs like rosemary and thyme. Next up, we are heading west, which is water, and this is where you can plant the moisture-loving plants, the blue and purple flowers, and even have a small pond or a water feature. Last up is the north direction, and this represents earth. And this is where you could consider your root vegetables, grounding plants like trees, rocks, and stones. Next, let's talk about the spiral garden. So a spiral layout, especially as a raised bed, creates this beautiful journey inward. These are perfect for herb gardens where you can place sun lovers at the outer edges and the shade plants toward the center. Then, you know, consider walking the spiral. It becomes a moving meditation. Plus, they're just really cool to look at from above. Our next beautiful layout is the Three Sisters Garden. Borrowed from indigenous wisdom, this companion planting of corn, beans, and squash isn't just practically freaking brilliant, it is magically sophisticated. The corn provides structure like a backbone or support. The beans fix nitrogen and climb the corn, which is representative of connection and community. And the squash spreads all along the ground, providing a sort of living mulch. And this is representative of protection and abundance. It is practical magic at its freaking finest. Our next layout, the Feng Shui Garden. For this, you can really apply the Bagua map to your garden space, planting specific colors and types of plants in areas that correspond to wealth, relationships, health, etc. So I would encourage you to pay attention to how energy flows through your garden, creating gentle curves instead of sharp angles in your pathways if you have them. The last layout we're going to talk about is the moon garden. And you know, I love la luna. One of the cool things about a moon garden is that they're designed to be enjoyed in the evening, and they typically feature white flowers, silver-leaved plants, and night-blooming species that really reflect moonlight and release amazing scents after dusk. These gardens naturally vibe with lunar energy and tend to create magical spaces for evening rituals or even just unwinding with a glass of wine at the end of the day. The thing to remember about all of these layouts is that you don't need to tear up your whole yard and start from scratch. you can do something as simple as incorporating the elements of these designs into your existing garden, because that can really shift the energy in incredible ways. Just start small and see what resonates with you. One of the things I love about gardens is that they're never just about plants. They are vibrant communities filled with seen and unseen helpers. Let's talk about some of the magical allies you might bump into and how you can work with them. So first up, we have the nature spirits, or the elementals. These are basically the consciousness of the elements expressing themselves in your garden. There's the gnomes, which represent earth, the sylphs for air, salamanders for fire, and undines for water. All of these guys play important roles in keeping your plants healthy and your garden in complete harmony. You can create little houses or dedicated spaces for these beings if you want, but honestly, the most important thing is just acknowledging they exist and showing respect. Next up, we have the plant devas. So each plant species has this collective consciousness, or deva, that you can actually communicate with to better understand the plant's needs and gifts. Before harvesting or pruning, try connecting with the plant deva by sitting quietly, expressing gratitude, and asking permission. It might feel weird at first, trust me, but the more you practice, the more natural these conversations are going to feel. Next up, we have the ancestor spirits. So a lot of gardeners feel the presence of family members who taught them about plants. I know I certainly do. Honoring gardening ancestors by growing plants they loved, using their old tools, or even creating a small memorial space in your garden really creates powerful connections across the generations. It is unbelievable. Next, let's talk fairies. So garden fairies are often the protectors of flowers and pollinators. They love beauty, gardens that have both order and wild areas, and even playful touches. Creating a small fairy garden with miniature features, shiny objects, sweet-smelling flowers, and a shallow dish of clean water can really invite their helpful presence. Just remember that fairy relationships work on mutual respect and exchange, so never demanding or entitled. Never. So I got deep into garden helpers last year and soaked up all the information I could find, which led me to pack my Amazon cart full of little ceramic houses and lights and bowls and glittery things, because I was about to make friends with the fairies and build them a super cool community and, of course, be an ally. Fortunately, my spiritual team told me to pump the brakes and take a beat before jumping further into the fire without my cool protection equipment. Basically, girl, just stop. Get solid on one thing before moving on to another. Today, those fairy goodies are hanging out in my Amazon wish list, just waiting to be released into the garden for all the magic. Let's talk about our animal helpers. From the obvious pollinators like the bees and butterflies, to the birds who eat pests, frogs, beneficial insects, and even the garden snakes, which give me the heebie-jeebies, but they also have their place. Our animal friends really bring specific energies and assistance. The thing is, learning to see them as helpers rather than pests really shifts your garden's energy in amazing ways. Yes, even the slugs have their place in the ecosystem. I can tell you with great certainty that I did not feel any love for bugs who devoured my tomato plants like it was their freaking job. In any event, last year we found a small to medium to large snake in our yard. I will always be a little dramatic about snakes because they don't give me the warm and fuzzies, but this snake really, like, she was a gem. She was very nice. But immediately I was like ready to hand over the property. I didn't go outside for days. And, you know, then I came to my senses and thought, why don't I just tell the snake how I feel? Tell her she's free to be who she is, but please do it without scaring me or trying to take out any potential/future bad moods on my dogs. Please and thank you. And honestly, just like that, she went away. Now, I don't think she needed my permission to be a snake and do snake things, but her energy was giving happiness and understanding, and I really appreciated that. Here's the thing. The key to working with any garden spirit is reciprocity. It's the give and take. These relationships thrive when there's a mutual exchange. Simple offerings like clean water, a drizzle of honey, shiny coins, or even really pretty stones are traditional ways to say thank you. And, you know, you could also just say thank you. So we know we're ready to awaken the magic in our garden space, right? We're thinking about the layout we want to use and how to best work with our garden friends and allies. Now, let's talk about some fun ways to amp up the magical energy in your garden using tools and practices you might already be familiar with. So first up, let's talk crystals in the garden. Yes. Let's kick things off with clear quartz, which is amazing for boosting the overall vibe of your garden. Rose quartz is another fantastic choice. Rose quartz really encourages healthy, loving growth. Then there's citrine, which brings in that sunny, abundant energy. And let's not forget carnelian, which can help your veggies grow with more vigor. I mean, just, I wish crystals grew on trees, is all I want to say, you know? I would say make sure you clean your garden crystals regularly because they're going to be soaking up and transforming tons of energy. You can bury your crystals at the corners of your garden to create a protective grid. You can tuck them into flower pots or make cool crystal garden features. You know, sky's the limit. Some gardeners really like to make crystal infused water for special plants. Just make sure to use only non-toxic crystals for this. Moving on, let's talk about elemental balance. So gardens really thrive when all four elements are in harmony. Bird baths or small ponds bring in water energy. Wind chimes, spinners, or areas where breezes can flow freely invite air. Sun-catching crystals or a small fire pit bring in that fire energy. And then obviously the earth element is, you know, it's everywhere. It's your garden. But creating specific spots that honor each element can really bring your garden into this beautiful balance. This could be a sunny corner with bright, fiery flowers, a shady meditation spot with feathers or chimes for the air vibes, a water feature, and even a special stone or earth area where you can ground yourself because, you know, grounding is everything. Let's talk about the divination in the garden. So your garden can be an incredible space for divination in case you didn't know. Try reading tea leaves made with tea from your very own herbs that you grew. Use objects found in your garden for casting. There's garden scrying, which is super cool. And for this, you would just use a dark bowl of collected rainwater placed in a nice quiet corner. Let's talk about meditation practices. I look at gardens as nature's meditation studio. I really do. You could try rooting meditations where you imagine your energy connecting to the earth just like the plants around you. Walking meditations along garden paths can really sync your energy with the space. There are sit spot practices where you regularly, you know, park yourself in the same garden location and you just notice everything around you with all of your senses and really create an amazing connection over time. Last, let's talk about moon phase connections. So each moon phase brings different vibes to your garden. New moons are perfect for dreaming up plans and setting intentions. First quarter moon energy supports strong growth and forward momentum, which is great for transplanting. Full moons shine a light on what's thriving and what needs some love. And then there's the waning moon, which supports pruning, weeding, and letting go of what's not working. You could try keeping a moon journal for just your garden and note how different plants seem to respond to different cycles. You might be surprised at the patterns you discover. Let's throw more fun into the mix and talk about some super simple ways to bring magical awareness into your gardening routine. And this isn't a more is better situation. Implementing just one or two of these can really, really transform your relationship with your growing space. First up is the morning garden greetings. For this, start by saying good morning to your garden each day. I know it sounds super simple, maybe even a little silly at first, but seriously, acknowledging your garden as a living being sets the tone for a magical relationship. Just a quick, hey girl, you're looking good today, with genuine appreciation works wonders. Next up is mindful watering. For this, turn watering from a chore into a little ritual by imagining the water carrying your good vibes into the soil and deep down into the roots. You can even charge your watering can by placing your hands around it and filling the water with specific energies like growth, health, and even protection. Next, let's talk moon phase gardening. So for this, try matching your garden activities with the cycles of the moon. Plant things that grow above ground during the waxing moon when energy is ramping up, and root veggies during the waning moon when energy pulls downward. The full moon, awesome for harvesting. Plus, who doesn't love gardening by moonlight? Our next idea is to create thresholds. For this, mark the entrance to your garden space, even if it's just a collection of pots on your balcony. This could be as simple as hanging a wind chime, placing some cool rocks, or creating an archway with climbing plants. Really, this signals to both you and visitors that you're stepping into a special space. Moving on, let's talk seed blessing. So before planting, hold your seeds in your cupped hands, breathe gently over them, and whisper what you hope they'll become. Super simple, but so freaking powerful. You're setting an intention while connecting with the miracle in each tiny seed. I mean, how cool is that? This next one should come as no surprise, and that is garden journaling. So for this, just keep a little magical garden journal, noting not just what you planted where, but fun coincidences, dreams about your garden, little critters who visited, and how different areas make you feel. You'll start to notice patterns that deepen your connection to your space. A cool favorite is to create a garden altar. To do this, just set aside a small space, maybe a flat rock, a stump, or even just a weatherproof shelf where you can place seasonal goodies, special found objects, or little thank you offerings. Check in with your garden altar each day and let it serve as a kind of gentle reminder of the intentions that you've set for your garden and the connection that you create together. Next up, plant with purpose. For this, choose some plants not just for how they grow, but for their magical associations. For example, rosemary for protection, basil for prosperity, and lavender for peace. Letting these traditional meanings guide some of your choices really adds another layer to your garden planning. How about compost magic? What if you were to see your compost pile as this amazing transformation station, right? As you add kitchen scraps or garden waste, imagine negative energies breaking down and turning into plant food. Literal and magical alchemy happening right in your backyard, or balcony, or front yard. You know, you get it. Last on our list, harvest with gratitude. When you're picking flowers, herbs, fruits, veggies, whatever, make it a habit to thank the plants for sharing their gifts. This simple acknowledgement really completes a sacred cycle of giving and receiving. Plus, gratitude just feels good. Remember that doing simple things regularly creates far more magic than complicated rituals that you do like once in a while. Garden magic is all about the relationship you build over time. To get your garden magic started, I want to share a super simple seed blessing ceremony that you can do before planting this spring. All you need is you, your seeds, and your good intentions. To do this, choose a time when you're not going to be rushed or interrupted. Check the calendar and look for the next new or waxing moon because those cycles work best for this. Next, grab the seeds you want to plant. Find a quiet place to sit with a small bowl of clean water close by. This is optional, of course. And then let's work some magic. So for the blessing ceremony, start with 3 deep breaths, feeling yourself connect to the earth beneath you. Place your seeds in your dominant hand. Cup your other hand over the seeds, creating a tiny sacred space. Then close your eyes and feel the potential life force in each of these little seeds. Talk to the seeds, either in your head or out loud. You could say something like, "Hey, little seeds, I see the amazing potential in you. I honor the life within you. As I plant you in the earth, I hope you'll grow strong and vibrant. May you bounce back from challenges. May you grow and flourish as you're meant to. And may you bring beauty, food, and healing to everyone. I promise to take care of you with attention and gratitude." After this, visualize the full-grown, thriving plants these seeds will become. If you chose to have a small bowl of clean water close by, now is the time to use it. So now you'll dip your finger in the water and place a very small drop on each seed as a symbol of the care you're going to provide. After that, sit with the seeds for a few minutes, feeling the connection between you. And when everything feels complete, thank the seeds for starting this journey with you. The cool thing is that this ceremony is completely customizable, so feel free to make it your own. The most important aspects are your focused attention, your genuine care, and really recognizing that you're starting a relationship with living beings. Also, it's totally fine if you feel a little silly at first. It is completely normal and it passes with time and practice, but I absolutely encourage you to practice. So we have covered so much garden magic today, and really, I just couldn't be happier. This time of year is magical all by itself. No extra work needed. But look at what a little intention, time, and patience can accomplish. Just remember that creating a sacred gardening space isn't about getting everything perfect or following rigid rules. It is about being present. It's about setting intentions and building a relationship with the living world around you. Thank you so much for hanging out with me for this exciting season and visit into garden magic. I would love to hear about your magical gardening experiences, so please share them on Instagram, via email, on YouTube, or with a little carrier pigeon, your choice. Don't forget to check out our companion blog post linked in the show notes and subscribe so you never miss out on the magical things. Until next time, this is Chantel with The Media Matters, wishing for your gardens to grow lush and magical. See you next time.